Breaking news,
and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why. It's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
That can be, and that'll. And welcome to another week of the Expressway. I'm Charles. Show me the way. I'm here with the BT Express, Billy Taylor, and we're here to take you through another week of New York Giants, New York Jets, and the world of the NFL this week. We got a lot to talk about. Preseason has started officially. Every team has played a game. The Giants played their first preseason game last week. A lot to talk about. We're going to spend the entire first quarter. But let me back up. For those new to the show, we break our show up into four quarters. We go first quarter New York Giants, second quarter New York Jets, third quarter, anything and everything that we want to talk about that pertains to the world of sports or life in general. And then the fourth quarter this week, we're going to talk about the rest of the NFL and the things. And there's a lot happening around the NFL that we need to talk about. And so we're going to talk about those in the fourth quarter. So, but first, the Giants had their first preseason game. They had the entire practice last week with the Detroit Lions. A lot came out of it. Give me your impression of how they looked, especially since none of the really first string actually played in the first preseason game. But how do you think the Giants looked in their first preseason game?
Well, the thing I like, Charles, and I had talked about it a lot, is they're well coached. They're even their second and third stringers that were playing, they were playing like they were very disciplined and being where they're supposed to be. I was impressed with that because they didn't make a lot of mistakes. And the way that the Giants won last year was by limiting their mistakes and being able to take advantage of situations. But I look at the offensive line in this one. Chris, their offensive line, Michael Smits, he played at least the whole first half, and he showed me that he's going to be the center for the New York Giants for a long time. I watched him pointing out situations and putting other linemen in correct situations. So that was the positive for me. What about you, Charles?
Yeah, I look at less so the positive, because obviously we want to see how these guys adapt to the NFL game. But for me, I'm looking at, are they improving in areas that they need to improve on to become a better football team for the upcoming season? Obviously, my home bone of contention on the defensive side of the ball is the defensive line. Can they stop the run? Obviously, they didn't have their first string in there, but you want to see that the new scheme, the guys that they have in the secondary backing up, because the backups are going to play an integral role throughout the season. You want to make sure those backups are good enough to not miss a beat when those starters aren't in the game. And what I saw was, like we said before the preseason even started, and what it's going to take for the Giants to win, I'm still concerned. They haven't alleviated any of the concerns I have with the defensive line and the front seven, for that matter, for them to stop the run. Because if they can't stop the run, it's going to be a long season for the Giants, no matter how well the offense plays. If you can't stop the run, the offense will never have a chance to get the ball. And when they're going up against the teams that are upper echelon, i.e. the Eagles and Dallas Cowboys, they're going to have to be able to stop the run. And that concerned me a little bit. I don't like Tyrod Taylor. I mean, he's more serviceable than Mike Glennon, but I don't know if you can count on him winning a game. If he had to win a game, you know, Tyrod Taylor is a veteran quarterback. He can run an offense, but he didn't do anything. Even though he only played one series, he didn't do anything to show me that he can lift the team to a win if he had to come in and spell Daniel Jones if he was out for a week.
With a quarterback that went to Don Bosco, DeVito. Is that his name, DeVito?
DeVito.
I was impressed with just his coolness. And it might be because he's from New Jersey, or it might be because he's used to playing in New Jersey, because you see that a lot of the high school teams, when they get to the playoffs, they get to play in Giants Stadium. And he looked pretty cool. It's hard for me to judge one game, but it looks like he's already better than the quarterback the Giants had 2 years ago. I think he's down in the Dolphins. Is that his name? Mike Glennon.
It's Glennon.
I thought he was the worst quarterback I had ever seen. But this is what I want to tell you, Charles, and I want your comments. I thought the defensive backfield with Trey Hawkins and Dante Banks, number one draft choice, played extremely well. I want you to tell me about the safety, Jason Pinnock and Dane Belton. Jason Pinnock looked like one of the best athletes, Charles, that I have seen in a long time. He's got range. He can jump. He's got a good nose for the football. And for some reason, I think he's going to be a mainstay for the Giants defense. But you let me know what you think.
Yeah, I agree. I love what the Giants defensive backfield did. But you can still see Deontay Banks is still learning the game. The Hawkins kid is seems like he's a lot further along. He seems like he's more natural at the position. He's more like a shutdown corner. And he was drafted in what, fifth or sixth round?
Yeah.
He was picked up and he seems like he's a lot further ahead than Deontay Banks. Maybe they have Deontay Banks doing a lot more or more things than Hawkins is doing. But for me, Deontay Banks is still trying to get his feet under him, just like Michael Gray is trying to get his feet. Because you know, he only carried the ball a few times, but you can still see the game is still moving a little quick, albeit it was his first preseason game. But it was moving a little quick for him, and I'm not as concerned with him or Deontay Banks just because it was their first live game. So I'm still pretty optimistic about both of those guys, and I'm very hopeful that they can come around.
Yeah, but see, I think they're going to have depth at the defensive backfield position because Adoree Jackson is the starter, and he's just really kind of coaching them up. The things I was worried about was the Giants picked up a linebacker off of waivers, and I was wondering how does that mean that they don't like what they're seeing at linebacker? They also cut a defensive lineman, and does that mean that they don't like what they have at defensive line? A'shaun Robinson, who plays the right defensive line, I thought he played decently. We haven't seen the two stars, Dexter Lawrence and Leonard Williams, so I think that the competition for the Giants is outstanding. On offense for the Giants, I think that, it takes offense a long time to get going rather than defense. And defense seem like, they can just get off the ball. But I think as each game goes on, they play Carolina on Friday. We're going to talk about that a little later. But I think that each game they want to try to improve. But I like the way that they're coached up, and I like the way he's doing things. And we're going to talk about preseason later. I don't think the veterans should play much in the preseason.
Yeah, I know. But remember what we talked about in our previous shows is that they're coming out of the gate playing a horrific schedule. I mean, if you have a potential of losing all six of your first games. All six of your first games. And if you're not coming out ready, and look, Daniel Jones is not Aaron Rodgers. Daniel Jones has not been in the league for 15, 20 years. The man needs reps and live reps to get ready because honestly, the season is like hinged on his shoulders. And if he can't perform and he doesn't do what he needs to do to get the offense moving the way they need to move, I'm concerned. I'm truly concerned.
But do you think that he should have played at least one series last week?
Absolutely. Daniel Jones should play as much as he can. They only have three preseason games, right? They have two more preseason games and they have a week off and then they start the season. So they need to get that whole unit. I mean, you look at the defense. That defense is young outside of, and Dexter Lawrence is still 4 or 5 years in. He's not an old vet, right? Kayvon Thibodeau, Ojulari, all of these guys are young. They need to play. I know you want to protect them from injury, but they got to at least play one quarter. 12, you know, we would play 12 plays our first preseason game. Like you said, we'll talk about it, but we would play a certain amount of plays and work our way into the regular season. And I think it's important. It's going to be critical. We have to take advantage of those teams sitting their veterans on the bench, sitting their starters on the bench, so we can come out not playing ourselves in the shape, not playing ourselves in the game ready condition, because we don't have 3 to 4 weeks to get ready and say, okay, now we can play like we should be playing. That's my opinion.
Well, see, I do agree that they got to come out with their best stuff from the very beginning, because they open up against the Cowboys on September 10th. But my problem is you don't want to get anybody hurt. But see, I think that when you start a game, whether it's preseason or the season, it kind of gets you in a mold. And I think they need to get in that starter's mold where he kind of understands, looks at another team. Even though they practice during the week, with Detroit, I still think that was beneficial to them. I still think he has to get under center with the crowd noise and all that kind of stuff. And I think that, you know, we'll see what's going to happen, but maybe Danny Jones is ahead of schedule, because every time I turn up and they give me the stats, he's looked outstanding in practice. But then again, you know, he doesn't get touched at all. So that's a big difference. And I think that, you know, the competition they have at receiver, they need to get it rectified, because I think that they're, you know, they have to be able to have situations where they are used to. And you got so many young kids, and even Darren Waller, who's a veteran, who has not played at all, he still has to get on the same page with Danny Jones from the second the season starts.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
Absolutely. And I agree with you. So I have a few bones of contention with the offense that I want to show you. We have some clips from this last highlights from this last preseason game that Ben back at the studio is going to put on there here in a little bit. But two things that I'm happy about and I'm concerned but happy that it was addressed about that went on this past week. Everybody loves Daniel Jones. They said Daniel Jones, Wink Martindale says that Daniel Jones has looked better than he's ever looked in his entire football career. That's exciting for me to hear somebody like that, that Daniel Jones is in control. It reminds me of how Eli was in control. No matter how scared he may have been, he always looked like he was in control of the situation. And hearing that coming out of the Giants camp, I'm excited. What I'm excited and concerned about on the other end is Kayvon Thibodeau at the Lions practice last week, he wasn't as explosive. His motor wasn't running at 110% like Aiden Hutchinson was. Aiden Hutchinson, both are supposed to be two top tier DNs, but everybody said Aiden Hutchinson showed why he could be a potential Hall of Famer, where Kayvon Thibodeau has the potential to be LT-like player and doesn't show up every single play. So Wink Martindale called him out. There's an article in the paper where he was in his press conference saying, yeah, I called him out in front of everybody. We have a session of keeping it real. And he kept it real and said, look, I need more from you. You're going to have to be our bell cow. You're going to have to be the guy that keeps control of this defense and makes plays and shuts down the other offense. And hopefully he's gotten the message, and we'll see a top performer every single play.
Well, the reason I love that is because that's what coaching is all about. They let you see yourself, and then you talk about how you can improve on it. I did notice that he took a couple of plays off. There are not many ball players, but, you know, some players, when the play is going to the other side of the field, they take it easy a little bit. And I watched him do that, and that becomes a habit. I played with two great people. One was Lawrence Taylor, where he never took a playoff. He went from sideline to sideline. And the other was Howie Long when I played with the Raiders. If the play was on the other side, he would just jog. And so I think it's a habit that the coaches got to get you out of. And I sure hope that they can get that straightened out. And that's what preseason is about.
And that's why it's going to be important for them to play this weekend against the Panthers. You want to see all of those guys at least play one or two series. I think play two series. It's really not about who's getting hurt, who's not getting hurt. Yeah, Saquon Barkley doesn't need to play a lot. Maybe put him out there one series. That's about it for the next three games. He doesn't need to play a lot. But Daniel Jones needs to play a lot. He has to get comfortable. You might want to put Darren Waller out there one or two games just so that they get comfortable to see live action, just to be out there to get the feel for the game. You don't want them coming out the first game of the season and working their way into being ready to win games. So I just think that the exposure, even though we don't like, I hated preseason, I think it was still good to get ready. But hey, just hold on to your hats. We got more to come from the Expressway, presented by NFL Alumni Media, BT Express, Charles Show Me the Way, Ben back at the studio. We'll be right back to talk about the Jets in the second quarter. And welcome back to the Expressway. I'm Charles Show Me the Way here with the BT Express, Billy Taylor. And we are here finishing up the first quarter and talking about all things Giants and following up on the Giants preseason game. There was one thing before we move to the Jets that I wanted to get your opinion about. There's a lot of scuttlebutt when they ran that punt return back. The Lions ran the punt return back in the game that Brian Daboll was so upset he gave the evil eye to Tom, the special teams coach, Thomas McGahee, like, what in the world are we doing out there? And look, we don't need our special teams to be falling apart is what I'm saying. You know, I love T-Mac. T-Mac is a great coach. He does an amazing job with the team. But they got to make sure that is a solidified unit. They have a lot of skilled players that are talented. They're going to try Deontay Banks. They're going to try Michael Gray back out there, kickoff return. Hopefully he can create some explosiveness, some game-changing opportunities within the special team. But the one critical area that's going to be important is the special teams, punt return, kickoff return, punt and kickoffs. Critical not to give up any big plays and to make the big plays in order to be successful this year.
Well, Charles, can you hear me, Charles?
Yes, I can.
Okay. The thing for me is that, and I saw that evil eye, and I've had the evil eye of me before. And when you come to the sideline as a player who's made a big mistake, you don't want to look at the coach because he's looking for you. And I thought that that was a bad point in the Giants. It was one of the negative points of the game. And, special teams is one-third of all football, offense, defense, and special teams. And they're all equal, even though you want to put more emphasis on one or another, they're all equal. And I thought that was a negative for the Giants. But again, it's preseason. They don't really know who's playing because you're playing a lot of rookies who play on special teams. And when we get to the season, you might see a few veterans sprinkled in there. But I think that the Giants have to go back to the drawing board and get that straight.
Absolutely. I totally agree. And hopefully, given the fact that everyone loves T-Mac is very meticulous, especially as it relates to the detail of games. I know he goes over a lot of different situations with the team, and I'm excited to see what they can bring to the table. I'm excited to see what Deontay Banks and Michael Gray can bring to the special teams. Obviously, they're going to be used on those teams, and hopefully they can add another dimension, add some excitement, and solidify that unit. Now let's turn our attention to the New York Jets. Obviously, they are the talk of the town. Everybody's talking about Zach Wilson. Everybody's talking about the defense. The defense, are you talking about depth, BT? The Jets defense has a ton of depth. They limit, I mean, the Panthers couldn't do anything. And granted, the Panthers are in total rebuild. And that unit looks rough. They may have a long season, even though everything is vanilla in the preseason. It looks like it's going to be a long season for the Panthers this year, based on what I saw in the preseason and based on the depth. And Bryce Young may have a tough time. They don't have a veteran quarterback for him to sit behind. And I don't know how good that offensive line is. They didn't look great against the Jets defensive, second string defensive line. So I am a little bit concerned about where the Panthers end up this year. But for the Jets, I think it's exciting to see that their second unit is balling, especially on defense. And that's what's going to carry them through the season.
And you're exactly right, because they have really one of the best talented defense that I've seen in a long time. I think the thing that blew me away was, and you saw it too, Bryce, the quarterback for Carolina, he took a whooping. Is that you very rarely, now in the olden days, you see a quarterback get flattened. He got flattened by one of the 300-pound defensive line, and I know when he got up, he couldn't breathe. And see, the thing about it, you cannot allow that to happen to your quarterback, because he's got, like the Giants play Carolina this week, but he's got to get up limping, hurting, can't breathe, his ribs hurt. I mean, they whooped his behind. They beat him 27-0. He didn't do zero. This is a tough beginning for a kid that is supposed to be one of the best quarterbacks to ever come out of Alabama. But I agree with you, the Jets defense, they're going to lead them, and I think it's going to come down to, can they make adjustments with the offense to do their part? Because I know, like I said before, the offense is always way behind the defense. But the Jets' offense, I mean, the good thing is that Zach Wilson got rid of the ball quickly, and I'll give him credit for that. He still has a little bit of problems, because I see him looking where he's throwing. And I love quarterbacks when they look to the right, because they know what's happening to the left, and they bring it back. He didn't do that at all.
Yeah, I think – The one positive is Zach Wilson looks like a different quarterback from last year.
Absolutely.
He looks like, and that's the one positive you can take away from the offense. The one glaring, I'm talking about red light district. You flash in yellow, red. It's like five alarm fire. Where is the help coming in? That offensive line. Woo. And you got to keep Aaron Rodgers healthy for 17 games. To have a chance to do what you want to do. Everybody is saying this team is Super Bowl bound, at least AFC championship bound. And if they can't keep Aaron Rodgers from being on the ground, it's going to be a long season, especially you're going to see the frustration from Aaron, which they said he expressed these past couple of weeks, the frustration with the offensive line, especially in the scrimmage last week against the Panthers. So the one concern, and then I just heard that head coach Sala tore into the offensive line because of just that, not being able to protect the pass rusher, letting the defense, granted, the Jets deep, they're playing against one of the best defenses every day in practice. So they should be able to up their game and play at least somewhat decent against one of the best defenses. They're practicing against the best talent in the NFL every week. So there should be no excuses why they can't perform in these preseason games to show that they're ready for the regular season. Because if they don't fix that offensive line this year, it's going to be a long season, and a lot of people are going to be very upset.
Well, a lot of people don't realize, and I've said it my whole life, if I was a general manager of a team, or you and a general manager team, I get my offense and defensive lines together because I can get some skill position players. Their offensive line looked terrible. And I watched Hard Knocks last night, and the coach, Robert Saleh, went off on him. Matter of fact, they were beeping every other word that he said, because he was telling them, and did in front of the whole team and whoever was watching. He said the offensive line was terrible. If they don't get better, they got a Hall of Fame quarterback, and he said two $10 million receivers and some great running backs. And when Cooks come in, they're going to be even more have depth.
And for them not to have an offensive line, somebody overlooked that. You talked about the right tackle being, you know, being better. He didn't play very much at all, neither the left tackle. But the center and the two guards, I think, is the only thing that's decent for them. And if they don't get some offensive tackles, they don't make offensive tackles. You can't go to Walmart or somewhere and get you a big offensive tackle. You got to have someone who come in there and knows what he's doing. And there's not many out there, because every team that is going to be in contention for the playoffs has got to have reliability on their offensive line.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And that, and like I said, if they don't address that, that's going to be a concern. But one area they don't even need to address, and you mentioned it just a few minutes ago. How about that running backs room? Michael Carter looked great. I'm talking about Michael Carter, you know, looked amazing. I mean, his quickness and his burst in and out of the holes, the man looked like legit. And he's not even in the third or fourth. He might not even get any burn. You got Breece Hall, who's coming back off an injury. They're going to probably work him into the season. He's probably going to have a limit on the number of carries or number of plays he plays in the game. And then they just brought in Dalvin Cook. I mean, if I'm any GM, there are two teams I'm looking at the last day of cuts. Two teams I'm looking at. I'm looking at the Jets running back. If I want a running back, I'm looking at the Jets. See who they cut, because somebody's going to be an actual NFL football player. And I want to see who the Eagles cut, because that room is stacked too. So I got two teams I'm watching say, look, I don't care about anybody else. As soon as they cut them, I'm replacing my running back with one of these dudes, because I know they're better than what I have right now. And what do you think about that?
Well, see, the thing that first came to mind for me is that people talk about, you know, the running backs not being what they're supposed to be. If you got this many running backs, you don't have to kill anybody. You don't have to run anybody to death. You got talent on top of talent. I always loved Michael Carter, but Breece Hall, I thought he was one of the best running backs I had seen in a long time, because he's a home run hitter. That means he can go 80 at any time. And then Cook has, I don't know how many seasons in a row, four seasons of over 1,300 yards each season. And once he's in the open field, his open field ability to see daylight is as good as anybody. So the thing I was thinking of is that maybe you, every once in a while, since you got that talent, you rest one running back for a game. Like if the Giants had deep depth, they could rest Saquon, not kill him one game, let somebody else come in, Nick come in and do something. And the Jets have that. And I think I'm going to be interesting to see if they go with the hot hand, or do they go by committee, or do they go by who has taken the least amount of beatings, because, you know, running back takes a beating. So I look at, you know, it's going to come down to coaching. And that's what I really have looked for this year, because of how many bad coaches I've seen. I'm going to see if Robert Saleh, the coach of the Jets, can show me something that he knows what he's doing.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia.
Your guy, your best friend, Nathaniel Hackett, has a lot, and I know how much you love Nathaniel Hackett, but he's going to have a plethora of weapons on that offense. Aaron Rodgers must be like a kid in a candy store. I don't even think he's had this much talent surrounding him in Green Bay ever, and that's a lot, because they had Reggie Cobb. They had Devontae Adams. I mean, they had some ballers there, but you got to understand, you got depth, like you said, depth beyond depth. At the receiving core, you got people that are coming in that can play. The running back, all of the running backs can play some ball. I'm like, my goodness, if I'm Aaron Rodgers, I would be cussing out the offensive line too, because if I don't have time to use them, I'm going to be pissed too. And he was getting frustrated. I'm like, I got all of these great weapons. I've never had weapons like this, but I probably have the worst offensive line in my entire career. And so that's an issue.
But the thing for me is that, like, I watched you know, the quarterback of New England and Tampa Bay, he get rid of the ball in 2 seconds.
Right.
I think when you realize your offensive line is not as good as it should be, I mean, Eli was in that situation. Offensive line wasn't that good, but he was just turning his back and throwing the ball. I think you got to get rid of the ball within 2-point-something seconds. And I think Aaron Rodgers can do that. He's got to make the adjustment according to his offensive line. If he holds onto the ball for more than, say, 2.8 to 3 seconds, he's going to take a beating because somebody's going to get beat one of their offensive linemen who's not that talented and get to him. So I think it's going to come down to him realizing the situation and getting rid of the ball quickly. But at the same time, if other teams know that, then they kind of hone in on the quick slants and the quick outs and don't allow you to get beat deep. But anyway, you listen to The Expressway with Billy Taylor and Charles Way. We come on every single Friday at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern Time on YouTube television. And we come back on the other side. We're going to talk about a little more things. What's happening in preseason? What's the difference in preseason? And we're talking, and we have a couple more things up our sleeve. So don't touch that dial. When we come back, we'll have more on The Expressway. Expressway with Billy Taylor and Charles Way. And just to let everybody know, Charles Way is the one who came up with the name The Expressway. They call me the BT Express, so we call it The Express. They call him Charles, show me the way, because he used to show those fullbacks, show those halfbacks for the Giants, Tiki Barber and different fullbacks, where the hole was. So that's why they call him show me the way. So we call it The Expressway. I thought that was very, very creative. We talked in the first quarter about the New York Giants having their preseason game. We talked in the second quarter about the Jets preseason game. Now this time we're going to talk about preseason as a whole. What do you think about preseason? How has it changed? Because when I played, Charles, we had 4 preseason games, and I didn't like it at all as a veteran. I think my rookie year was only year I liked it. But, when you play games that don't, I don't know if it's you don't get paid for or you're not really interested in. It's a tough situation for a veteran. And the way they do it now, they used to do it where the 3rd preseason game was like a pre-trial for the regular season. I don't know what they're doing now. Will the 3rd game be a pre-trial also, Charles, or do you think that they're still going to allow people not to play?
Like we were talking about earlier, I hope for the Giants' sake that they're going to have people play. Look at what Denver did. Russell Wilson played, albeit it's probably a series, Russell Wilson played. And Sean Payton ain't playing, given the way they played last year and how he went in on everybody, even the coaching staff. And you see a lot of other teams playing there, especially those teams that had rough seasons last year. You see a lot of those coaches playing those guys early, the starters early. Like I said, the Giants aren't in a position. I know health is a big concern for every team, because once you get past that first unit, there's a drop off in the talent level. And so you don't want to get your first string hurt. But given how important the start of the season is to a lot of teams, the teams that are ready and come out like gangbusters, come out not trying to get their way, not trying to get a feel for the regular season and not playing up to their best ability game one, those teams may not be able to come back, may not be able to make up that ground. They're not the Eagles. They're not San Francisco, where they can go out, step on the football field and win when they don't have their best, right? The Giants, I don't believe just yet, are at that level where they can come out and play. They don't have the type of defense like the Jets has. like I said, I'm excited. I'm not even a Jets fan, and I'm excited to see what they can do based off of what I saw in this preseason game, because their second string.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
Seems like they're just as good as their first string. But the Giants, you got to get the first string ready to go because, like I said, coming out with a strong schedule, and if they don't come ready to play that first game, it may get ugly pretty quick. Unlike last year where they started off 6-0, they may start off 0-6 if they're not careful.
Well, the thing I noticed a couple of years ago is just – As a minimum a couple of years ago, was that a lot of teams didn't play their veterans during the preseason at all. And they started in their first game when the regular season started. I noticed at the beginning of the season, Charles, that a lot of NFL teams didn't play their best ball. They weren't ready to play. And the whole level of play in the NFL wasn't great at that time. And the only ones that had it were the coaches who let their players play, like a Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick did that. And I think some of the great coaches like Andy Reid, they realize what's at stake, and they realize that everybody needs reps. So I totally want the veterans to play some amount of time. I think the Giants need to make the third game a game where they put everybody together. I don't think they'll do it when they play Carolina this week, but the third game is against the Jets, crosstown rival. Both teams have big ambitions, so I think it should be almost like a prerequisite to the regular season and treat it like that, because then you have players that know what's happening, they're getting acclimated to what's going on, and that's what I think has got to happen around the NFL if you want to be successful, because as you say and I say, the beginning of the season for the Giants is tough. To start off with the Cowboys is tough, and so to go in from there, they have to be ready more so than other teams. Even the Jets, they played Buffalo on a Monday Night Football, the first game. I don't know if they're going to be ready, but the Giants, I think they're well coached, and we're going to see hopefully a meaningful competitive game on September 10th.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. You look back at when we played, and we played four preseason games, the first preseason games. If you were a starter, you probably played either a couple of series or the first quarter, right? That's it. You played a length of time, but no longer than the first quarter. Second game, you played the first half. And the third game, you played into the third quarter. You probably played probably one or two series, depending on how you did. You played into the third quarter. And then the fourth game, you kind of chilled out and didn't play at all. And I think now that we've gone to three games, I think to your point, you have to start playing your veterans, especially as young. We're not dealing with an old team. We're not dealing with the old Tampa Bay Buccaneers where everybody was, the minimum age was what, 28? Yep. And so average career was 6 to 7 years on that team. So by no means, you got age, a lot of veterans, a lot of experience. You may not need to play in the preseason because they know what to expect. They've done it before, and their bodies don't need the punishment. But with the Giants and the Jets, you got two young teams that have very high expectations thrusted upon them. And if you don't get those guys ready, assuming that they will show up on day one and be ready to play, I think you're going to have a rude awakening because they're so young. These are not veterans. And they need to get ready for the real thing.
Well, I think coaching is going to come into existence on this because it's really up to the coach how much they do it. I think Brian Daboll is going to have them ready for that first game. And I think, excuse me, that he realizes that the Giants have got to be ready day one from it. And I know you don't want to get people hurt, but around the NFL, Charles, and you're right next to it, they playing three games. I looked at the history back before I played in the NFL, they used to have six exhibition games. I don't understand that at all. That would have killed me. And then when I played and you played, it was four games. Now it's down to three. Don't you see it going to two games and then adding another regular season game on? And they talk about running backs don't make 17 games. How in the heck they going to make 18?
So, and that's I think that's the bone of contention with the NFLPA is like, you're putting a lot of pressure and a lot of hits and a lot of pounding on these guys' bodies if you're playing, the longer you play. And obviously no one takes the preseason seriously. And really, when you look at it, when we were playing, the preseason was really giving the free agent an opportunity to shine and show what they could do and give them an opportunity to make a football team. And now, given where we are and this new age, you don't even have enough time. In three games, you don't have enough time to get right, to get ready, to identify players. You're hoping, and you don't hit as much. So you're not hitting in practice as much. You probably hit twice a week. I wish they did that when we were playing, because in practice you hit every day. And sometimes they wanted you to hit twice a day. I still remember we would go uppers, and it was like uppers and full pads, right? Uppers is monitors that have pads on, because we had like these 3-on-3 drills and these 6-on-6 drills where it's almost, I'm hitting you just as hard as I would hit you if I had pads on. So I dreaded, hey, look, don't tease me by saying we got uppers and it's a light day, because we're hitting the same. And so you teasing me, might as well just go full pads. I wanted to come out one day with full pads on and just show the coach, man, this is actually what this practice is for me. I'm in full pads because I'm hitting the same way.
Well, the thing for me was that I had some of my best games in practice because they try to emulate game time situations. And I'm having blitz pickup against Harry Carson and Lawrence Taylor. And the thing about it is that you can't cut them in practice, you know, because in the game, there's no guy that going to rush me at that speed level, because he has to be aware that I might get his legs, but not in practice. And that's why I think nowadays, since they don't hit like they do, and Saquon doesn't hit a lot in practice or stuff like that, he's working on his mental game and just trying to be in great shape. I just think that's the way it should be, because with the workout schedule that athletes have in this day and age, they're already in shape when they come to training camp. They're probably in better shape than they've ever been in their lives because of the off-season workouts, the training, the new kind of training they're doing. And I just think that the way they're doing it is good. But the hard thing is that I don't think it makes you ready for that first game of the season.
I totally agree. I still remember, you're right, you can't cut. And as a fullback, you don't want to cut on pass protection plays because it's a mano y mano, it's a machismo thing. But I'm telling you, I played against some dudes. Michael Brooks was a mess. I mean, they took advantage of you during practice. I still remember, I'm a rookie, and because you were old, you played with some old school cats. So when you're running 7-on-7 in pass routes, And they throw the ball and it's out of your reach and you're in front of the guy, he pushes you in the back and makes you fall on the ground. I used to hate that. I wanted to get up and punch him in the face, man, so bad. Taking advantage of me. As a rookie, I just had to get up and take it. I'm like, this is bull crap. I mean, you didn't have to push me. The ball is 10 yards away from me and you pushing me down while I'm running. I'm already dead tired with 100 pounds of pads on at the time. You wore everything back in the day, like Eric Dickerson, wearing all the uniforms. They didn't stop wearing all the uniforms until a couple of years later. But I'm serious, man. It was painful playing back in the day during preseason, because those days were those dog days. And like you said, before, when you were playing, when there were six games, they started preseason in July, in early middle of July.
Yep. Yep.
It's at least now you have a little bit of time, because a little bit of time where they don't start until the end of July. But you didn't have a summer.
Nope. As a matter of fact, I still can't understand why you come into the middle of July. It's hot as heck. You're trying to figure out who's going to be left on your team, who's going to be in great shape, who's going to fall out in 90-degree temperature. But when I was with the Giants, we were up at Pace University in Westchester, and there was nothing out there but horses. And I'm telling you, man, 99 degrees, and the coach, we had Ray Perkins at the time, he was trying to kill us. He was running us hard sprints before practice, after practice. We used to have 3 a days, Charles. And I thought, what stupid idea is this? When I'm already in good shape, and most running backs in the NFL are in great shape. So why would you want to put someone through that where it wears their body down? It doesn't make sense to me from a mental standpoint, and I'm glad that they do things this day and age, and I wish they did them that day and age, because I probably could have played a couple more years if they hadn't hit in practice.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. The schedule is like 2-1, 2-1, and a lot of teams aren't even taking advantage of the two practices a day. It's a glorified walkthrough, the first practice. So they're calling 2 a days a walkthrough and a padded practice. And then the next practice is just probably short. And then you get a recovery day where you don't do anything. So I'm talking about, this is an amazing era of football for these guys. And we all wish we would have played in a different era. We do. You talk to the older guys. You talk to the guys that played in the 70s. They're like, man, you're stealing money. I should have earned half more money than you earned, and I was way better. But there you have it. It's different.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
Anyway, you listen to The Expressway with Billy Taylor and Charles Way. And we just having fun talking football, Giants, Jets. We'll go around the NFL in the next chapter. And we're also going to mention about Charles' favorite team, the Sixers, and their star point guard called the owner a liar. Could you do that in the NFL and get away with it? Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back with more on The Expressway after these messages.
And welcome back to The Expressway. I'm Charles. Show me the way here with the BT Express, Billy Taylor. And we have just taken you through 3/4 of the world of sports and everything going on in our minds about how we wish we would have played in this era and how our bodies would be in much better shape and condition and feeling a lot better if we would have played in today's era. But we got a lot more to talk about. BT just broke my heart. And we're going to get to the NFL and the NFL news, but BT just reminded me. I tried to shut that out, tried to say I didn't hear about what was going on. And the inmates are running the asylum in the NBA. It just goes to show you they are still running the asylum in the NBA. And hopefully something happens. But James Harden is being James Harden again. James Harden has just come out and said, I will never, ever play for a liar like Daryl Morey. And so, but that's not how James is not going to take the Ben. So I got a perspective here. James is not going to take the Ben Simmons approach because he likes his money. Right. James Harden has out of shape James that can come in to NBA basket into the preseason and just look terrible. And you don't want to play him. Right. And so we got out of shape James Harden. We got in shape James Harden. So if he doesn't want to be there, out of shape, James Harden will come in to training camp for the Sixers and just make it a ruckus. And he said this, or his camp said this, there's more to come. So this is what I think happened, BT. So he took a pay cut to sign his boy PJ Tucker, and I forget the other guy they signed. He took a pay cut to sign PJ Tucker and someone else. So I guess during those conversations, Daryl Morey must have intimated, or he thought he said, that if you take this pay cut, we'll sign a 2-year deal, player option. You can back out of that player option and we'll give you the max. He must have said, we'll give you the max. Yep. Not, we may give you the max. If you play like you're supposed to, you'll definitely get the max. But he must have said, or he heard, you're definitely going to get the max. So and tell me what you think about this. After that last Celtics game, game 7 of the Celtics series, do you think Daryl Morey was revisiting that past conversation? Is like, I don't know about, that doesn't look like a max player to me. And I'm on a hook for 3 more years or 4 more years at $50 million and won't be able to do anything and won't have a great player in front of me. So do you think that Daryl Morey is in the wrong, or is James Harden in the wrong?
I think that James Harden is in the wrong because, as you know, coaches and general managers, they lie. They do that sometimes. And you have to look at your own self to see if you've improved. Okay, my sisters and I told you, they live in Houston, Texas. They have season tickets to the Rockets. They tell me, and I saw it myself, in the fourth quarter in playoff games, James Harden didn't show up at least 2 or 3 times. And I think that I thought, maybe he's going to get better coming to the Sixers. This last year, he just looked terrible in that last game of the season. You want maximum money and you can't put forth an effort to be able to show that you know, you were the leaders of the team. And then he's got Joel Embiid talking about, I want to win the championship, but it doesn't have to be in Philadelphia. And see, I just think that's ridiculous. You have to keep what you say kind of on the download sometimes until you get there. And so I can't give James Harden any idea at all because he brought it on himself. And for him to go to, I think he's in somewhere overseas in China or somewhere where he said it twice. He reiterated the guy's a liar. How are you going to call an owner of a team a liar and you're trying to get maximum money for him? That's like somebody's trying to beat you up and you're cursing them out and they're going to beat you behind anyway. So I thought James Harden was ridiculous. And I think it's going to come back to bite him. But you never know in the NBA, because as you say, the people running the asylum, they're not all there anyway.
Yeah, there's a lot to that. You know, next year's free agency class is a beast of a free agency class. If I'm the Sixers, I'm telling Joel Embiid, let me try. I don't care what James is saying. The goal is, you saw, and this is what Daryl Morey probably said to, and you know, Embiid, Joel is another player, so he's not going to go off on another play like he did Ben Simmons, especially somebody like James Harden. Joel Embiid is probably like, this dude, he was supposed to show up. He didn't even show up for the game. He was looking at me to show up, and he didn't even show up. I'm like, I don't want this dude on our team. And so Daryl Morey is like, look, we'll find a way to get rid of him this season. Just hold on. But think about next season. Next season, you're going to have a premier player playing next to you, because given the new cap situation, the Sixers are in a prime position to sign maybe definitely one superstar, but they have a chance to sign 2 superstars next year to play next to Joel Embiid. So I think everybody's talking about Joel is going to ask for a trade if they have a bad season. I think he's fully on board with the plan. As long as they get somebody that's legit superstar next year, I don't think that's a problem. And James Harden will be a non-starter. He may cause drama. The soap opera of as the Sixers turns will be in prime time again next year, and seem like they've been the Emmy Award winner of the soaps for the last 3 seasons. But hopefully after they get rid of James, it'll go back to normal and they'll get back to basketball.
But see, I don't know if James Harden knows his own level of talent, because for him not to know that he chokes in the big games, and that's probably one of the reasons why someone, and I really believe that he got Doc Rivers fired. It's just my own thought process. He's wanted out of two situations. One was in Houston, the other one was Brooklyn. And then they say now that not many people want him to play for their team. And I think that he thinks that probably he can go back to Houston. But I don't know, you know, looking at what he's done in the past, he hasn't done anything but the regular season. And all I've always, and you and I always pointed to, the postseason is what's happening. The postseason is when you make your talent, make your name for yourself. And James Harden has been the opposite way. So I don't know what's going to happen because he has not much leverage. He opted out of his contract, as you say, and then he realized that, you know, he don't have much leverage. So I'm going to see, is he going to repair the relationship with the owner of the Sixers, or is he going to try to be a free agent and sit out the season? He doesn't have many options.
Well, thanks to the NBA and the NBA players, NBA is just as relevant as the NFL throughout the entire year, off season, in season. It's learning how to remain relevant throughout the entire season. So everyone is taking tips from the NFL, how the NFL is relevant throughout the entire offseason. NBA is trying to be relevant thanks to some of these crazy players trying to be relevant through the entire offseason. But let's get back to the NFL news. Obviously, this story came out about the Blind Side and them not really adopting Michael Orr. So what do you think about this drama about the Blind Side and a fictitious story? It's a Disney story anyway. They made money. I mean, now he's trying to sue for the rights of the film and everything. Look, it's a story. All of it is fabricated anyway. That wasn't actually how it played out. So why are you mad? Yeah, you're not adopted, but they took you in. They took care of you. They fed you. So you might as well have been adopted. So what's the big deal? What is the scuttlebutt about all of this stuff?
Well, Michael Orr was the offensive tackle who they were talking about, and he was played by someone else in the movie. I thought it was a great movie. I've seen it at least three or four times. And I think what he's doing is that he said he didn't get any money for the movie. I know the actor who played him got some money, but Michael Orr should have gotten some money. And they said he kind of put up something and says, well, if they don't give him money, he's going to sue. They said he asked them for $15 million. And if they don't get it to him, he's going to take it to court. I don't think he has much to go on. And then he played 8 years in the NFL. I hope he's not broke, because if he wasn't, he shouldn't come out with this, or maybe kept it inside a little bit, or kept it under the radar. But I think that you can't adopt somebody at 18. I know that. And I know that he had some kind of thing called a conservatism where adults take care of his money. But for him to wait this long, because that movie's been out a long time, and he would know from a long time ago if he didn't get compensated. So is he trying to do this? Because they have a book coming out. That's right. There's a book coming out. So maybe he's using this situation to promote his book. That's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah, I mean, it is quite peculiar. And it's probably all a media play. You want to get some publicity around the book. What better way than to create a lawsuit against your family members so that they can understand, so people can understand, why are you putting a lawsuit? So you got to read my book to kind of understand the backstory. So it's another way to sell books. People do this all the time. And I think this is just another publicity play to bring some attention to his book that he's putting out.
And I didn't really think about it, Charles, until you said it then. But I do think that he has a purpose for what he's doing. And I hope he's set for the rest of his life. But he only played 8 years, and usually great offensive linemen play between 12 and 15 years. So I guess he didn't reach his full potential, and maybe he didn't set his money the right way that it should be. Anyway, that is our show for today. We always have a good time. And don't forget, we come on Fridays at 10 o'clock in the morning on YouTube television. And I got to thank Jayla and Ben back at the studio. They always make us sound good. Thank you, both of them. And we'll see you next week. And our jobs are getting fun and more easier because the NFL season is right around the corner. When we see you next week, we're going to talk about the Giants and the Jets. And the Jets are playing Tampa Bay, and the Giants are playing Carolina again. So when we see you next week, we've got a lot to talk about on the Expressway. Have a nice day, everybody, and thanks for joining us.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.